the middle of our series, Blessed. If you're visiting with us, thanks for coming. We hope that you've experienced the presence of the Lord. Our heart, our vision, as we said, is to plant churches. We plant 15 churches in the U.S. and 15 churches overseas. We've already begun that process. We're excited about what God is doing. The mission behind that, how do we accomplish that? Well, it's pretty simple. It starts within us by becoming a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. Loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, the great commandment, that's becoming a disciple. And letting that come inside of you in such a way that it goes out and making disciples in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go into all the world, make disciples, teach them, obey the commands of the Lord, and know that He is with us. So we're excited about that process and that journey. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'm going to start in the book of Philippians, Thessalonians and Philippians. I'm going to be all over the place today. So a good way to follow along is the YouVersion app. If you have that on any of your devices today, you can download that and look. If not, it's the Bible app. On that there, if you look under the More tab, there's a live version there. You can look and you'll see the Crossing Church, and you'll see the series Blessed, and you can actually tap into that and have all the notes that can follow along with us today. But we're in this series called Blessed, and we've talked about how we say this word, I'm blessed to be a blessing, lucky to be blessed. We say all these terminology in church, but what does it truly mean to be blessed? What does it mean? Because and how do we make the Beatitudes our attitude? You know, we can read in Matthew 5 where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the meek. You know, when we go, blessed are the humble. We go through all these blessings. But how? I mean, those sound great, right? But how do I make that my attitude? Because really, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And how do I learn how do blessings come? And we're looking at in order to make it our attitude, we have to understand where blessings come from. The word blessed in the Hebrew is asher, which means happiness. In the Greek, it's makaros, which means a state of happiness. So to be blessed means to have this state of happiness inside of us. But how do we make the Beatitudes our attitudes? Well, the first week we talked about understanding that blessings come through trials. You will have trials in your life. And you know what? It's just a part of the process. But in those trials is what develops and grows you and allows you to understand who your source and who you can trust in all that you go through. And if you'd like to listen to any of these messages, you can click on the Listen tab in that YouVersion app. And it'll take you and you can listen to all the messages. But the second week we talked about blessed through scarcity. And really answering the question, who is your source? At the moment of having nothing is when you recognize who your source is. When you don't have anything, then all of a sudden, because you have two options. You can become your own source where you go do the work, or you can learn to trust in the Lord and know that He will provide for you. And today I want to really dig into this issue of the attitude. And the number three, the third week, how do we make the Beatitudes our attitude is we are blessed through perseverance. Now, perseverance really is our attitude in adverse situations. I mean, let's just put it down to the nitty gritty. It's our attitude in adverse situations. Have you ever noticed that when your back is against the wall, when you in a crunch time, that's when what comes out of you, what's in you comes out of you. I think of the story, you know, it's kind of the whole, you know, the whole concept of you can't control what comes out of you. It's just in you, right? And so I think of the story that I've shared before. Several years ago, we were actually, it was in the summertime. We were in Arkansas, and we were there at Walmart, and a guy asked to use my phone. And so, you know, you don't think a thing about it, so you reach out, and you're like, yeah. And I asked him, what do you need it for? And he said, I need to call my mom. And he's standing with another guy, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, the guy starts to walk away. I'm like, hey, where are you going? And he starts to walk away, and I start following. Then he takes off running. And so it's a phone, right? How do you respond? Now, I know many of you say, let him take it. It's a phone. Yeah, that's not what I did. I decided, you know what? That joker just took my phone. So I start yelling, hey, he stole my phone. I'm in flip-flops chasing that joker out of Walmart, yelling the whole way. And all along, it's not crossing my mind, this guy could have a gun, he could turn and shoot me. No, I'm getting my phone back. And so I chase the dude down, and I start yelling. Well, all of a sudden, these people in the parking lot help me. They jump in, and we basically make a citizen's arrest. And at the end of it all, I'm sitting here going, wait a second, what have I just done? Like, this guy could have shot me, he could have killed me, but I had no idea. Instantly, I reacted. In high stress, difficult situations, you don't know how you're going to react. But your attitude and how you react is a good determination of what's inside. When you go through situations, you know what? You may be happy-go-lucky and then something goes wrong. How you respond in adverse situation is a good indicator of what it means of who, what's inside of you. And one of the areas that the enemy uses the most is discouragement. Discouragement is one of the most effective tools Satan uses on believers. It's the battle of, I'm not good enough. Now, this is something that as a church planner that we have lived out daily. I mean, let's just be real. You know, it's like you carry everything on your sleeves. When you're starting, I cannot tell you how many times thinking, I can't do this. Why am I doing it? What is the point of this? Like, God, you know, seriously, there's got to be something else. You know, and you take things seriously. You get into this struggle inside. And yet through it all, there's a lesson behind it. There's a lesson of learning that no matter what I go through, God will help me. And when you look at the enemy, you have to understand discouragement is one of his most effective tools. He uses it on you too. If he came at you with something that you understood was him, you respond with what? Scripture or, oh, no, that's not going to work. But what happens? He causes us to get discouraged. When we get discouraged, what do? We let our guard down. Now, all of a sudden, we're open to hurt. We're open to pain. And you have to understand, essentially, discouragement inside you becomes viral. Have you ever been around that guy that's always, you know, it's bad? You're like, man, it's a beautiful day. And they're like, I bet it's going to rain. You know, and you're like, for real? I mean, like, dude, you know, you're trying to be happy. Everything you say, you know, it's like, man, this road is awesome. It has too much traffic. I mean, everything you say is never, it's never right. It's never good. You can't stand it. Why? Because it just brings you down. And they call themselves the realist, right? I mean, yeah, they're real, all right. I mean, raw and real. But it's like the reality is this. You can't control that. It's who they are. But inside of you, that discouragement, it affects other people. And Satan uses that against you. And your attitude directly affects. And this is why I'm talking about this. Because your attitude today directly affects your ability to persevere. I mean, it correlates together. And so when you look at this today and you're saying, how do I make the Beatitudes my attitude? Well, guess what? You got to deal with your attitude. And how you look at things and how you respond to things and how you say and what you do. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, looking in the concept of thanksgiving, Paul writes to the church of Thessalonians and he says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The will of God. I mean, think about that. In everything. What does everything mean? Man, it's not that hard, is it? Everything means everything. All right? That means what? Traffic. That means what? Yeah, hard times. It means everything you can think of that frustrates you, that's everything. The good things are good things. We'll sit around. You're going to come to Thanksgiving here this week, and what are you thankful for? Oh, I'm thankful for this. None of us say, I'm thankful that I had a rough year. I am so thankful that this year stunk. I'm thankful I was sick this year. If they did, you would say, what's wrong with that dude, right? But yet, in everything, we have to give thanks. Why? It's the will of God. Why is it God's will for us to give thanks for everything? Well, you have to understand God's will. There are three main distinctives in God's will. And I'll just give you a quick synopsis on that. It's the divine will, the moral will, and the personal will. The divine will is God's plan for your life. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. You don't have a say over it. It's simply divine. Jesus coming down, saving us from our sins, is divine. Amen? It's the divine will of God. You do nothing for it. The moral will of God over here. Okay, now the moral will of God is what is right and what is wrong. There is no question. You don't have to ask the Lord if you can, you know, kill somebody. It's not a prayer you pray. Lord, can I cheat? Can I cheat today? No. You don't have to pray over certain things. They're right and they're wrong. We know them as the Ten Commandments. They're just simply things that are right and wrong. But the personal will is what we want to know. And when you look at this and says, this is the will of God, it's the divine will and the personal will playing in together. It's all three in the moral will. He's saying, I have a plan for your life, Jeremiah 29:11. I have a design for you. I want great things for you. And this is my plan. I have a perfect plan for you. Well, how does that play out? The personal will of God is what God's designed for your life. It's his plan for you. And the way you discover the personal will of God is by trusting in the divine will of God, obeying the moral will of God, and it brings you closer into a relationship where you can hear the voice of the Spirit and follow the personal will of God. So when you have this process going on, well, what is God's will for my life? Well, to give thanks in everything. What does that mean? That's an attitude adjustment, isn't it? That comes within you. How you perceive, how you respond to what you're going through. Now, it preaches well. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, because I've said the same thing to a lot of preachers. It preaches real good to give thanks and everything when things are going good, right? You say, praise the Lord, God's good. But when you're going through, let's just be real, when you're going through hell in a hard time, you're not saying, thank you, Jesus. God, you're good. That's not how we're responding, are we? Because we're normal, we're human. But what Paul is trying to tell us here is, guess what? If your reliance is upon him, if you're persevering, you should be focused in on that attitude and saying, hey, how I respond, how I act directly affects my ability to persevere. But what is the other will of God? His divine will is he came for us, right? And to live a life that is right. But inside of every you, that plan, that Jeremiah 29:11, part of that plan is sharing the love of Christ with others. It's the great commandment. We just read it. Love God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. There's the command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? It falls in line with sharing the love of Christ. Do you realize your attitude is the greatest witness you'll have? Let that just kind of soak for a minute. Your attitude is the greatest witness you'll have. You know why? Because it's what people see. It's what people see. You can know Scripture inside and out, but if you had a cruddy attitude, do you think people want to be like you? Paul said, have all these gifts, but if you have not love, you're like a loud clanging cymbal. You ever heard one of those? Yeah. If you have kids, you have. You know, they find something to bang on. You're just like, stop! You've had that moment. Paul said, that's what it's like if you don't have the love of God permeating out of you. Look at Philippians 2. This is one that we've read to our kids. We've had our kids memorize, okay? We do certain scriptures. This is a good one for your kids to memorize. It works so well. We'll say, do all things. They'll say it. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Woo, that'll preach, won't it? That'll preach. We'll tell our kids, do all the things without complaining. That's what we make them say every time they do that. But I was reading this week, and this jumped off the page. Why do all things? So that no one can criticize you. Like, that's going to happen, right? But he says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining bright like the bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Where is light the brightest? In darkness. So your attitude is going to be one of the greatest witnesses you'll ever have. You can be godly. You can know Scripture inside and out. But if you get ticked off every time something don't go your way, hello. If you're at work and you have that one guy that works with you that drives you batty, you know who they are. That one girl that you're just like, oh God, there she is. There he is. What do I got to do? They test your ever-living nerve. Could it be that you are around them so your light can shine? Your attitude, it affects your ability to persevere. But more than that, as he's saying, it's the will of God. It affects those around you. And you have to understand that in the midst of your struggle, that's when people are watching you the most. That's they want to see, how are they going to respond? I know they're going through a difficult situation. I know their back's against the wall. How are they going to respond? And how you respond will become one of the greatest witnesses that you could ever have. Because your attitude affects people's ability to see Christ in you. That's why in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says this, through 4, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way," not if, but when they come your way, "consider an opportunity for great joy." Now, that's the hard thing to understand. But it says, "For you will know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing." What is he saying? He's saying that in the midst of that struggle, you're going to grow. You're going to develop. It's going to create you who you are. But along the way, you're going to impact people's lives because they're going to see Christ in you. And doing so, you're fulfilling the will of God for your life and for his cause, for his plan. So you have to realize your attitude is not just about you. Your attitude affects the kingdom of God. And let me tell you something. I am preaching to myself today. I literally, as I was studying this, and I prayed on Friday, kid you not, because what you begin to work on, you're going to be tested with, right? So here I am Friday. I prayed. I'm like, God, help my attitude. Help my attitude. And instantly, Mandy comes in and says something like, "Rrr," and I'm like, well, I just failed that one. Awesome. And I told her, I actually just read and prayed on attitude. She goes, really? I said, yeah, I know I failed. And I fail. I do it all the time too. It doesn't mean I don't try. I don't say, well, I failed. I'm a failure. Just have a crappy attitude. No. You have to say, something has to change inside of you. You say, no, I'm going to live a life that honors God. Even though I'm not perfect, I'm going to mess up. But how I respond, my attitude, it affects my ability to persevere. But it also affects those around me. You see, your attitude, get this, it dictates your level of growth. Your attitude dictates your level of growth. Well, how do I know what my attitude is like? I mean, there's a question, right? How do I know what my attitude's like? You may think you're a kitty cat. You may think you're this sweet little kitty cat that everybody thinks just purrs when they see you, but others hear a roar, all right? How are you perceived? Quit nudging the wife here. Be careful. This might get you in trouble. But your attitude dictates your level of growth. You may think that you've got it going on. You may think that you're so sweet and nice, but let me tell you something. It directly affects you. Well, how do I know that? Because your actions reveal your attitude. Your actions reveal it. You can think all you want. It's the principle of the path, right? Directions, not intentions, determine your destination. You can say you want to do something, but if you don't do it, it doesn't matter. You just said you wanted to. It's how you act that truly brings it out. In Matthew 7:20, Jesus said it like this. He said, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. That's how you can see. So your actions reveal your attitude. But remember, you will always harvest what you plant. In Galatians 6, I love this verse. It says, verse 7, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay, death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. You know, my father-in-law, he's a farmer, and he does crop adjusting as well as he still farms now as he's getting more towards the age of retirement. He is not doing the field work near as much. But the simple plan is this. If you plant wheat, what do you get? It's not rocket science, is it? If you plant corn, what do you get? Pretty smart, huh? Not hard, is it? But why is it that we think in our personal lives we can plant destruction? We can plant deception. We can plant turmoil and reap great things. Have you ever noticed that? We do a good job of planting things that bring pain, but we wonder why we're reaping pain. You plant corn, you reap. Pretty simple, isn't it? That's what I love about this scripture, because it's so revealing. It says it's the whole mirror concept. Look at your reflection. And you have to understand, your attitude is who you are. You ever been around the people that have good attitudes? It's almost annoying, isn't it? It's like nothing gets them down. You're like, for real? Like, are you happy? God is good. But yet, isn't that what Jesus is telling us to be? Do you find yourself wanting to be around him? Like, man, I like hanging around that guy. I like hanging around that girl. She's always happy. Makes me feel happy. Man, it's quiet in here today. I told you, I'm preaching to me first. I get it. Because we all go through that. Really, it comes into this, trusting in God and not giving up and knowing that he will see you through. Because when your attitude, let me just break this down. When your attitude is bad, it's because you've taken all responsibility upon yourself. All pain is yours to fix. All problems is yours. And you've not released anything to the Lord. And you've not recognized that this is a blessing that he's giving you. The perseverance is teaching you growth. The perseverance is giving you an opportunity to let your light shine. But instead, we look at it as if the world is stacked against me and I have no hope. But yet, when you can shift your view, when you can shift your focus and say, wait a second, this is more about what? It's more about my ability now to grow, my ability now to be a light to people who don't know Christ. Be a light, because ultimately that is what it's all about. In Galatians 6:9, he goes on, he says, don't get tired. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. What is blessing? In this one, it was the Greek word. The Greek word was what? Makaros, which is what? A state of happiness. Paul says you will reach a state of happiness if you don't give up. You've got to persevere. It's in the end. It's moving through, not giving up, knowing that, you know what? I'm going through a hard time. It is difficult. I don't know why things aren't happening the way I think they should. But I know, as we read earlier, that my Lord is a shield around me. He's a comforter. He's going to help me. He's going to provide. And you've got to find strength and perseverance in knowing that your attitude is right. It is in line with the Word of God and is being a light in a dark world. There's a song my mom and dad used to sing growing up. I laugh at it now because it's the good 70s, you know, where it starts off literally. I have the tape. I almost played it and I thought, no, I'll spare you. But it starts off and they go, do, 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 do. I'm no kidding. You think I'm kidding. There's no joke to that. But the words are so powerful. They say this: he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. Think about that. He didn't build a home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. I can tell you, as corny as that do-do-do-do-do-do-do stuff sounds, that song has resonated me as a church planner. It's resonated to me when I'm saying, I'm drowning. He says, I didn't teach you to swim to let you drown. Lord, I'm down. He says, hey, I didn't lift you up to let you down. I haven't left you. I'm with you. I'm with you. And God is with you. And he has not left you. And some of you have begun to become discouraged. And you believe the lie of the enemy that says, God's forgotten you. But that's what it is. It's a lie. God has not forgotten you. You see, blessings come through perseverance. Once you stop relying on yourself and learn to rely on God. And I want to close with 2 Corinthians 1 once again. I read this scripture last Sunday morning in prayer, and I shared with you in between, but it was so powerful. I have literally, this has been, you know, you have those scriptures you chew on for a while. Like you just keep going back to them. I've literally just been keeping this to memory, committing this to memory this past week. But 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 8, I want you to listen to this because I think it's so true of Paul. It's just so real. It says, when we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went to in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Can anybody ever say you can relate to that at some point? Just me and Richard? Appreciate that, Richard. We've been there. Everybody else has got it going on. But if you ever, can you say, you know what I'm saying? You just nod at me. Okay, there's a few more. The point where you're saying, I'm going to die. It's over. But I love what Paul says. In fact, we expect to resign, but man, this is just resonating with me. But as a result, we expect to die, but as a result, listen to this. We stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger and will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him and he will continue to rescue us. Like I said, this scripture has just been heavy on my heart. As a result, here's what I know. You may be at a point in your life today where you expect to die. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're on the mountaintop. You're either in the mountaintop or you're in the valley, right? We like the mountaintop. We don't care for the valley. But here's the truth, isn't it? If you're on the mountaintop, don't get too comfortable. You'll be in the valley at some point. And if you're on the valley, don't worry about it. You're going to be up at the mountain too. Because that's life. But it's in those moments that grow you and develop you. Why don't you close your eyes today and reflect on that? I'm blessed. But do you know where blessings come from? Do you see where the blessings of God are coming from? If you're here today and you do not know Christ, we never want to close a service without giving you an opportunity. We recognize that, you know, life is tough. It brings challenges. It brings difficulties. And the reality is this, when you learn to have Jesus inside of you and you can trust in him, you can find that hope, you can find that peace in him. And if you're here today and you do not know Christ, we never want to close without giving you that opportunity. If you're saying, hey, my life is against me, I'm going through a hard time and I need Jesus. Whether you want to accept him in your heart for the first time or rededicate your life, we want to give you that chance. With no one looking around, just make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you are. So I want to make things right today. Anybody here today? Anybody here? Okay. I'm going to take it that each of us have accepted Christ or you're on that journey towards accepting him. But I want to do this. I want to pray because some of you today, you can relate. You're at that point where you're expecting to die. You're tired. You're wore out. Maybe it's in a certain situation. Maybe it's healing. You're tired of being sick. You've been sick and you just need God to heal you. Maybe it's provision. You've done all. You've honored God with your tithe. You've done what he said to do. You've done the best you can with the budget. You're trying to be a good steward, but you need him to come through. And you're at that wit's end saying, God, I don't know what else to do. Maybe you're in a transition and you need provision. You need a job. You need something to come your way. And you're like, God, I'm at a breaking point. I need you. Maybe your relationship is torn up, whether it be with a family member. And just the thought of going into the holidays worries you and brings sick feelings because it brings back memories of hurts and pain that you've had to deal and go through. And you're fighting that and you're saying, God, where are you? I need you. I believe if nothing else today, God is trying to speak into your life and tell you, persevere. Don't give up. In other words, let your attitude reflect Christ. Trust in Him. It says, don't rely on yourself, but begin to rely on God and know that He will rescue you. He's going to rescue you today. And if that's you today, I want to pray. And as I pray, I just want you to open your hearts and your mind and say, Lord, help me. Just say a prayer right where you are, right where you're sitting. And ask the Lord. You call it out to Him. Say, Lord, I give you the finances. I give you the job. I give you whatever it may be. I give it to you. And let Him take over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray over each and every person that is here right now. You see the needs. You know what they're going through. You know the pain. You know the hurt. You know everything that they're facing. And Lord, I pray right now, God, that You would bless each and every person. God, that You would begin to let them see that this struggle they're going through is an opportunity for them to persevere. And as they persevere, their attitude can reflect You. And as they do, people can come to know You and see Christ in them. And lives can be impacted, their lives and the lives of others. Father, we thank You and praise You for what You're doing in the life of each and every person. Lord, I pray for provision. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. All these things, God, whatever is need that they're facing that makes them feel like the expectation of death, can let them see, Lord, they can rely on You and You will see them through. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name.